Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's say you invited a friend or an acquaintance to come with you to church. Of all the texts, of all the Bible verses, of all the Gospels that could be read on the day that your friend finally decided to take you up on your invitation and come to church with you, who of you would have picked the Gospel for today? The Gospel in which that Canaanite woman came to Jesus with that desperate need for her suffering daughter. And Jesus first ignored her, then seemed to insult her ethnicity, then implied that she was worth about as much as a little dog begging for crumbs at the table. This gospel makes for an unlikely evangelism text, but I think it's perfect. Even as Jesus himself is perfect in all that he does and all that he says. This text reveals the truth. And it reveals this. Who does Jesus help? Well, even a woman? Yes. Even a woman. Even a woman of Canaanite ancestry, that race that was cursed by God back from the time of Noah. Yes. So, even a poor man? Even a rich man? Even a Jew or a Gentile? Even someone with a sinful background? Even someone from an Asian background or an Indian background or Hispanic or German or... Yes. So Jesus will help anyone who comes to him? Yes. Even me? Even you? Yes. The woman who came to him came to Jesus with a desperate need for her daughter who was suffering from demon possession. Only divine intervention could help. And even though she was a Canaanite, even though she was not an Israelite, living up there in Tyre and Sidon, she had heard the report about Jesus that he was good and kind and helps anyone who comes to him for help. She had heard that he was the son of David, the promised Messiah for Israel, but not only for Israel. And, this is important too, she knew where to go to find him. But Jesus didn't go knocking on her door, making an evangelism visit, inviting her to come and hear him preach. He didn't put up a big sign saying, "Here I am." All he did was go to her region where she lived, close enough that she could hear about him, and go and find him and seek help from him. And how does Jesus help this Canaanite woman who's suffering and her daughter is suffering so terribly? By making it seem for a while like he is unwilling to help. Take that human reason. We think that we have to make Jesus look attractive to people. Or that we have to make our church look attractive to people. We think we have to sell people on Jesus. And to do that, we want to make everything as enjoyable as possible. We want to say only nice and friendly things all the time. We want to make sure everything's easily understandable to everyone. We want to see to it that Jesus himself seems as warm and welcoming as we would like him to be. But Jesus himself doesn't do that. Well, sometimes he does. Sometimes it's, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Other times, Jesus can seem downright disinterested, aloof, standoffish. He can even appear as if he were the enemy, as he does in our gospel today for a while. Just as in that Old Testament lesson you heard today, Genesis 32, just as the angel came and appeared as Jacob's enemy for a while and forced Jacob to wrestle with him all night long before finally giving in and giving him that intended blessing that he gave him at the end. So Jesus at first appears to be the enemy of this woman, this Canaanite woman, and makes her wrestle with him for a while too before he gives her what he intended to give to her. First, there she is crying out to him in the streets for help. "Have mercy, O Lord, Son of David." But he doesn't answer her a word. Now, there's two ways of interpreting his silence. The devil would have the woman interpret Jesus' silence this way: Jesus is a real jerk. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't have time for you. You'll never get help from Jesus. Look, he hasn't said a word to all your cries for mercy. He isn't merciful, not to you. You might as well go home. Try to find your own solution to your problem. Of course, that's not what the word that this woman had heard about Jesus told her about Jesus. So there's another way to interpret his silence. He hasn't said no. He hasn't said, "You go away now." He hasn't said, "I don't have time for you." So maybe his silence means keep crying out to him. Maybe it means I'm still willing to listen to your cries and still willing to help you. Don't give up. Then the second trial the woman had to overcome. Jesus' disciples heard her calling out after Jesus and saw Jesus pretending to ignore her, pretending not to hear, and that got a little bit uncomfortable. It was awkward. Woman crying out, Jesus ignoring. Jesus, send her away. Well, Jesus doesn't send her away, but he also doesn't help her right away. What does he say? "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, again, there's two ways to interpret that. The world would have the woman interpret it this way: Jesus hasn't come to help people like you. You're not the right kind of people. You don't have the right skin color. You don't have the right accent. You have a history of being a godless people. Well, you're not part of Israel. You go away now. Jesus has already said he's only come to help the house of Israel. That's not you. You go fix your own problems. You go look elsewhere for help. Or there's another way of interpreting what he said: sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, he didn't say that I'm not one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And didn't God say to Abraham a really long time ago that he would make Abraham the father of many nations? And didn't God promise in the Old Testament that he would bring non-Jews into the house of Israel and make them part of Israel? And didn't Jesus say once that he came not only for these sheep, but that he had sheep that were in a different pen that he had to call and bring into his pen so that there would be one flock and one shepherd? Maybe there's still hope. I could still be one of the lost sheep of Israel, even though I'm of Canaanite blood. Then there's the third trial to her faith. That woman came, and it says she knelt before Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Well, those words sound harsh. But here again, two ways of interpreting what Jesus said. The sinful flesh would have the woman interpret it this way: "Jesus called you a dog. How rude. You deserve better than that. You deserve at least for him to acknowledge you. You deserve at least for him to give you the same help he would give to anyone else. You're not a dog. Now get up off your knees. Pick up whatever pride you have left and go home. You never should have come seeking help from Jesus in the first place." Or you could interpret the words of Jesus with the way of faith that fully admits, "I am no better, no more worthy than a dog. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything from Jesus, certainly not a place at the children's table eating from the children's bread. I don't deserve that. That's true." And yet neither did Jesus say, "I am a dog." Neither did he say, "I'm not one of the children." So either way, he's giving me hope. Because if I'm one of the children, then I get to eat the loaves of bread from the table of God's grace. And if I'm only a dog, I get to eat the crumbs of God's grace. And the crumbs of his grace are more than enough for my need. And so she answered, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." That's an amazing answer. But it was that report, the word about Jesus, that sustained that foreigner, that Canaanite woman, sustained her in the face of all these trials of faith, sustained her even when it seemed like Jesus wasn't willing to help. The word that said he is willing to help was enough to get her through, so that in the end she saw and she took the opportunity to ask him again for the help that he promised, and he gave it. It's as if the words of today's introit were emblazoned on her heart. "Remember, O Lord, remember your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old." Now, when you hold the Lord's own tender mercies and loving kindnesses up before him and ask for his help based on that, now you've got him. Now you've caught him in his own words, or rather, he's allowed himself to be caught and committed himself to help. "O woman," Jesus said, "great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. You see what a great evangelism text this gospel can be? It simply tells the truth. It tells the brutally honest truth about sin and about Jesus and about the Christian life. It doesn't try to paint the Christian life as a glorious journey through this world where prayers are always answered instantaneously for those who really believe, where everyone's always smiling and happy and bubbly. doesn't paint that picture of the Christian life. See how difficult it was for this woman in the gospel who really believed in Jesus, who had a great faith. But it was worth it in the end. Jesus never once told people what they wanted to hear. But he always told people what they needed to hear. And he always dealt with people as was best for their eternal well-being. Well, that offends people. It's offensive to those who think they do deserve something from God. It's offensive to those who think they don't need Jesus' help, as if they could do it on their own, as if they could make God happy on their own, as if they could make it to heaven on their own. It's offensive to those who refuse to confess that they are poor, miserable sinners. But you see, those people need to be offended by the Word of God, because the path they're on right now is the path that ends in death. Because as long as they believe that, they don't believe in Christ the mediator. But this gospel is also so comforting. Comforting to the ones who come to Jesus for help, because it presents the real Jesus, who had hard things to say, who was never politically correct, who isn't trying to sell you a product or take your money, who doesn't always answer prayer immediately or in the way we might like, who promises that those who follow him will have to bear a cross of persecution for following him, a cross of suffering, who often appears as an enemy. And yet, it is the real Jesus, who, even though at first he may appear to be an enemy, is the best friend you'll ever know, who is so good and merciful that he came to give his life as a sacrifice on the cross for the sins of all, and rose from the dead so that he could come and offer his help to all who seek it, to anyone who comes to him seeking his help. So, what can you tell people? You can tell them you need help, that Jesus will always help anyone who comes to him looking for help. And then don't forget to tell them this. Don't forget to tell them where they can find Jesus for help. Tell them honestly, you will not find Jesus at work. You will not find Jesus at home watching TV. You won't find him hiking through the mountains. You won't even find Jesus in your prayers. Tell them, you'll find Jesus at my church. This is where you'll find him. You'll find Jesus with all of his help and all of his forgiveness and all of his blessings in the preaching of the Word of God, in the Holy Absolution, in the sacrament of Holy Baptism, in his Holy Supper. This is where you find Jesus for help, and he'll help anyone who comes to him looking for help. Come and see. Just be aware that on the day that your friend or acquaintance does take you up on your invitation to come and see and find Jesus here, the gospel for the day may well be a gospel like the one for today, where Jesus doesn't appear warm and welcoming and friendly throughout. But that's okay. Don't ever be afraid of the truth. Don't ever be afraid of Jesus in anything he says, in anything he does. Because wherever the name of Christ is proclaimed in its truth, there the Holy Spirit is calling people to faith in that Savior who helps anyone who comes to him. Let it be so today. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.